Okay.
We're live at the July 9th meeting of the Civil Service Commission. Lee, do you want to do the honors?
I'm happy to do that.
Okay.
As temporary chair of the committee, this meeting is called to order at 5:01 p.m. on Wednesday, July 9th, 2025. The members, Rachel Lang has experienced a parking emergency today, so she is an excused absence. I'm Lee Nathans and
Emily Haynes.
Welcome, your first meeting.
Thank you.
Glad that you're here. I don't believe we have any guests.
No guests.
No one is here. Let's tackle item four on the agenda, which is old business. There were minutes that were sent from the April 9th meeting. Is there any discussion of that?
No.
Since I'm the only member who was actually there, I'm going to say let's move to approve the minutes. All in favor? Aye.
I'm happy to vote if I'm allowed to vote.
You are allowed to vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You're
yes.
Right.
You're
going to
point because it wasn't there.
You are.
You're
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yes.
So, as a follow up to that, the items that were covered on April 9th were the final draft of the civil service rules.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that they have been presented to City Council.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and they've approved them. So they're in use now. Now, it's sort of a weird aside to that. When we posted our current police officer opening, we posted them when the prior rules were in effect. And so as the department is going through the eligibility process, the prior rules will be in effect, but then for any openings going forward, you know, and or any matters that would come before the Civil Service Commission, we're now able to use the new rules that you guys have worked so hard on.
Do you have an idea, was there any variance between any of the candidates in conformance with the new rules?
So, when we look at, so the commission did some work on, like, I guess, paring down some of the disqualifying items, particularly around like drug use or past misdemeanors, and they consolidated them, and then they put in some qualifying language around that, so that, you know, the chief, right, could sort of use best judgment in consultation with the commission. There was probably one person where if those rules had been into effect, they may have still been eligible to be on the eligible list for consideration. And so in that case, that may, if we have a police officer opening in the future, then we would encourage that person to apply, or at least they would be open to apply to be considered for that. So,
right, and I'm not sure if you have had the perspective of the long, strange trip in getting to the decision. It had been an enduring practice that dated back to the first Trump administration. So.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the rules revisions.
Yeah.
Yes.
The rules revision.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it was wrapped up at the last meeting,
mm-hmm.
and so it's in effect right now.
And I think when Emmy and I were talking about the commission just today, I mentioned it puts us in a good place where if we would like to consider any other rules changes, then it's a up-to-date document and we feel good about everything from copy editing on it to the nature of the rules. And so I think it allows us to have more substantive conversations about the actual rules. Great. So I think that's great.
And hopefully makes your job easier.
Yes. Yeah.
Great. So that's what took place on the April 9th meeting. The next item on the agenda are appointments. We have a promotion from the service department for Isaiah Austin, a tree maintenance worker.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any discussion about
Isaiah was previously a grounds maintenance worker, and so this is a promotion for him. He's going to learn how to climb some trees.
Great.
Actually, I did have a question. Are these OPRAs eligible, or is that because they're...
Yeah, and so, yes.
Okay.
Most of our folks are covered under OPRAs.
Okay.
The only exception to that are our sworn officers, and they are covered under Ohio Police and Fire, OPNF.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
And the city makes contributions to each depending on their position.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So let's vote on Mr. Austin. Any questions?
No.
All in favor of approving Mr. Austin's promotion? Aye.
Aye.
No nays? He's promoted. The schedule step increases. This is a nice new feature, consolidated, condensed, instead of having a sheet for everyone.
Yeah.
That's quite a lot of work.
It is, and the great news is that the city has been investing in some good technology. One of those is a timekeeping system that Lee knows, but these step increases that are scheduled, that are based on date of hire, are now automatically programmed in the system.
That's great.
And so it's wonderful.
I work at the Supreme Court, and they are just now automating that.
Yeah.
It's very good.
And so do they require, are step increases not require any performance review?
No.
It's just a function of the chronology?
That's right. And, the only exception to that would be if somebody was in their probationary period. So sometimes, say it's a one-year probationary period, and for whatever reason they choose to extend that probationary period, then it could be that we don't provide their step increase. But that would be the exception and not the rule.
The step increase would be postponed until the probationary period.
Perhaps, yeah.
Do you also have longevity or just step increases?
They do have longevity.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And is that also automatic in your system?
It is, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's based on whether the employee is a... under a collective bargaining agreement, it's different for that, or if they're just a regular full-time kind of Schedule One employee.
And I believe most of the employees are collective bargain, being affected by the collective bargaining agreement.
Yes, they would be. Now, if you think about...
Except for the separate agreement with police department.
Yes, so we have a total of... technically four different contracts for the city. Now, when we think about the sheer number of folks, most of our folks are actually seasonal employees of the rec department, because that seasonal lift is about 100. But we do have around, I think it's like 99 full-time folks within the city, and the bulk of those are under a collective bargaining agreement.
And in the police department, there are two units, right? The FOP and the dispatchers are under a separate bargaining.
Yeah, there's actually three, because our animal control officer is technically under a separate contract. That contract has a lot of similarities to it, to the dispatcher contract, but there's technically three different contracts. And then our service department is AFSCME.
So Amy Jennings is a group of one.
Yep.
Great.
And when are those due, for renewals, the contracts?
It's every 3 years. So we just did the service department contract, and so that's from goes from 2025 through the end of 2027. Our FOP contracts, I want to say, is 2024 to the end of 2026, and then I think the OLC, our dispatcher and ACO, are the same as well.
Thank you.
So we have a little bit of a reprieve from collective bargaining this next year and a half. So,
and is the commission, is this commission involved in that at all?
They're not. No.
No, and that was what the basis for updating the rules was, that the city attorney advised us that since the original draft of the rules, the ORC superseded anything that had been in the civil service rules, so we needed to make sure that that the civil service rules were in conformance with what the law is.
Mm-hmm.
The next item on the agenda is separations. We have a retirement. Ken Goff, who was the deputy police chief, who retired at the end of April.
That's right.
Any questions about Deputy Chief Scoff?
Oh, well, what, are you posting that position? Is that the one that's open, or is that posted?
So that one is not posted yet. So the chief is sort of taking a look at what he'd like to do from a leadership structure. So the deputy chief position previously was a captain role. They made some changes. They've added the lieutenant role in there. So he's sort of taking a year or so to figure out what he'd like to do with his management structure. So.
And the rules conform to give him that flexibility.
Yep,
good.
Yep.
So
good.
That he's in the process. The deputy chief position is an internal position, so it's just being promoted. It would be promoted from one of the lieutenant's position. It's not.
That's right.
And not available for outside competition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that my understanding is that there's going to be a fairly long runway in terms of allowing the lieutenants to decide if they want to compete for that position.
Do you mean a long runway to?
To the posting the next step in the selection process.
Oh, yes. If they would like to submit for consideration.
Applications, because I think the educational requirements of that position, there may be some of the candidates that are competing may need to have time to wrap up that educational requirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when someone moves up, won't there be a position open from where they were?
Yes. And so then it becomes a sort of a domino effect.
Gotcha.
I think it would really depend on what and how the chief wants to structure that department too.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's vote on accepting the retirement of Deputy Chief Goff.
Aye.
A resignation, Spencer Martin from tree maintenance. He resigned in April. And we have another tree maintenance worker that we just promoted.
That's his replacement.
So it's funny how those things work.
Yeah.
Right? Any discussion about Mr. Martin's separation?
Nope.
Okay. Move that we approve it. Your
Yes.
Right.
Second.
Okay. Mr. Martin is approved, separate or resignation is approved. The police officer recruitment process.
Yeah, so I know when we were walking in, Lee, you said that you were excited to hear how it's going. So we are currently in the process of working through, the detective agency is working through preliminary background checks for those folks. And so the process, Emmy, goes that if somebody would like to become a police officer, they have to submit their, there's a national testing network. Mm-hmm. They're gonna submit their scores on the national testing network to the Bexley Police Department. And then what's also new is now we have an online application system. And so they're going to submit an online application system, an online application, and then sort of an attestation of various criteria there. They have to meet those various criteria. Like, you have to be over the age of 18, or actually 21. You have to, you know, have at least a 1 year of college education, or have your peace officer certification already. So you're going to attest to some of those things, and then you have your test results. Those test results have to meet a certain level of criteria as well. If both of those things come into play, then they're invited to participate in physical ability testing. And so that took place at the beginning of last month.
June.
Yep, June. And so we had several officers, or several applicants rather, that were eligible and were invited. But I think we had, it was 10 folks that came out for testing. Of those, we had 4 that passed the physical ability testing. So there were, you know, some folks that maybe didn't do enough push-ups, or they weren't able to run the mile and a half and fast enough time. And so then that's the case. It's a pass-fail situation. We take the folks that do pass physical ability testing, and then their information is passed on to our detective bureau. They do a background check, and, you know, an in-depth check of records, references, employment, education. And then from there, if there's no disqualifying factors, those folks become the eligible list. And then this commission would certify that eligible list. And basically you're saying, you know, none of the factors of which somebody was disqualified for, all of those fit within the civil service rules, right? Or there was no, nothing that was brought to your attention that was not administered correctly, that sort of thing. From there, then folks are invited to participate in oral boards, so a set of interviews. We would, the chief would make a recommendation of who to hire from there. A conditional offer would be provided to that person. And then from there, they also have to complete a physical, with a physician, mm-hmm. so that's required for OPNF. They would do
OPNF,
a
what's that?
Ohio Police and Fire, the pension,
okay.
would require that. And then they'll do psychological testing, and then also polygraph examination. Okay. So in the past, the Civil Service Commission had members, they've participated in a variety of ways. My role did not exist in the past, and so I'm glad to step in and administer the process from an HR perspective. The commission's role is to make sure that we are following the process that we set out to do and we're administering it in a fair way. And if we're disqualifying folks, then we're doing so for legitimate reasons. And there's not anything inappropriate going on. So the commission is always welcome to come to any of the civil service testing in an observational capacity. And that's really, you know,
this
how
would,
they...
This would include the oral boards. That's where we've traditionally been involved. We've traditionally been involved with physicals to make sure that everyone got a fair count.
Yep.
There were any disputes, then the Civil Service Commission, who would be reviewing the tasks, would be involved in that, and the oral boards. We've been involved in participating in those, and I hope we will continue to.
So the commission is invited to participate like in an observational capacity for the oral boards, but we wouldn't want you in a position where you would be asking questions of candidates, because we would want to maintain your capacity to be an impartial observer in case somebody had a problem with their interview, or they said, I was asked an inappropriate question, or I was treated unfairly. We wouldn't want you as a participant in that process, because you would have to be the ones to be the impartial judge of did that happen or not. So, but definitely welcome to participate in the oral boards. And as we've gone through this process, I've been providing an update on kind of what the process looks like, what to expect. It's been sort of a lull right now because those background checks take a really long time to do, but we'll be getting ready to do those oral boards. Gosh, I hate to say a date because it would be wrong, but maybe by the end of this month, early next. So
but before candidates that will be coming to the oral boards.
So we have four candidates right now in the background check process. Now, if there were any disqualifying factors that would come out in the background check, then their eligibility would end. And then the eligibility list would be, you know, shortened.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are there any other issues you'd like to
no,
hear about?
No, this is great.
The next item, number 9, is adjournment. All those in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Aye. The meeting concludes now at 5:24 p.m.
Perfect. And our next meeting is Wednesday, October 8th.
Right.
Oh, perfect. All right.